gentlemen moderators, Mr. Bass, ladies and gentlemen. Again tonight, we're certainly thankful for this opportunity of being able to discuss with you things revealed in the Bible. I'd like to assure you that my purpose in being here tonight is not to gain a personal victory over Mr. Bass, but to gain a victory for God's truth. I'm here in the interest of the truth of God and in the interest of those who are lost. I'm here to defend the truth as revealed in the Bible, and to defend the church of Jesus Christ that was purchased with His precious blood. And all of us ought to realize the importance of truth, because our Savior said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 17:17, He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Hence in James 1:21, James says, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." So we're here in the interest of the truth as is revealed in the Bible. Thus all of us ought to be willing to study that we might divide aright the word of God. Now Mr. Batts is supposed to be affirming that the Bible teaches Holy Ghost baptism is for believers today as in the days of the apostles. I deny that the Word of God so teaches. It's His obligation as an affirmative of this proposition to thus set forth from the Word of God that Holy Spirit baptism is thus for believers today as in the days of the apostles. Before the service began tonight, I gave Mr. Batts 10 questions written down. These questions have been designed to pinpoint the issue of difference. I'd like to read these questions off at this time, then ask Mr. Batts to deal with them as he sees fit too. Question number one is, does the Holy Spirit guide men into all truth today as it did the apostles? Question number two, can a person receive the Holy Ghost without receiving Holy Ghost baptism? Question number three, is Holy Ghost baptism essential to salvation, either from past sins or in heaven? Question number four, how many baptisms are there in effect today? Question number five, where is the first case of Holy Spirit baptism in the Bible? Number six, do all penitent believers who have been baptized in water receive Holy Spirit baptism? Question number seven, can all people who have received Holy Ghost baptism work miracles? Question number eight, what are the signs of an apostle, as mentioned in 2 Corinthians 12:12? Number nine, is speaking in tongues a miracle? And then number 10, how many times may a believer receive Holy Ghost baptism? These questions are not hard to answer. He can either answer them yes or no, or he may see fit to answer, "I do not know." And if he doesn't know, just simply let him say so. Or he may see fit to discuss in detail the questions. We'll let him do that as he sees fit to. But I believe as we notice those questions, though, as he gives consideration to them, since his position is on trial tonight, that we can certainly pinpoint the issue of difference, that we might see exactly what Mr. Batts has signed to affirm tonight. That we might further clarify the issue of difference, I want us to notice this chart, number 14, that is entitled, "What is the Issue?" I'd like to suggest, first of all, that the issue is not a question of God's power. I simply mean by that, it's not a matter as to whether or not God could baptize people today with the Holy Ghost, whether God could not. That isn't the issue of difference.
And then furthermore, the question of difference is not, was Holy Spirit baptism promised to some in the first century? Now that isn't the issue. Now a number of the passages that Mr. Batts read mention the fact that Holy Spirit baptism had been promised to some in the first century. And then further, the issue of difference is not, did the apostles and Cornelius and his household receive Holy Spirit baptism? Now, that's not the issue of difference. In fact, that would not necessarily have to enter into the discussion. Now, it has, and we'll be willing to discuss it, since he's leading the discussion. However, that is not the issue of difference here tonight. I'm not denying that the apostles in the first century, that Cornelius and his household in the first century were baptized in the Holy Ghost, like the Word of God says. I believe sincerely that they were. That is not the issue of difference. And then further, the issue of difference is not, do believers today receive the Holy Spirit? I want Mr. Batts to notice this. Now, he gave a number of passages that mention believers receiving the Holy Spirit. That isn't what he signed to affirm. We're not discussing as to whether or not believers receive the Holy Spirit today, because I believe that every true believer receives the Holy Spirit today. And so that's not the issue of difference. Now, Mr. Batts wasted a lot of his time in giving various passages that mention the fact that we receive the Holy Ghost. I believe every passage in the Word of God, every passage that says we receive the Holy Spirit, I believe that. I believe even stronger than Mr. Batts does. Now, what is the issue of difference? Now, the issue is, are believers today, not back in the first century, but are believers today baptized with the Holy Spirit as the apostles were on the day of Pentecost? Now, that is the issue of difference. I'd like for us to notice, before I go into a study of some of the things that he has suggested further, chart number 15 that is entitled, There is One Baptism. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul said, There is one Spirit and one body, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so forth. Now notice here that he says there is one baptism. Now when Paul penned Ephesians 4 and 5 in approximately A.D. 64, some 30 or 35 years after the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Paul said, There is one baptism. Now, I'd like to suggest this to you, that the Apostle Paul did not say that there had always been only one baptism. The Apostle Paul is simply saying in Ephesians 4, 5, there is one baptism. Now, let's notice, first of all, Holy Spirit baptism, and then we'll notice water baptism. We notice that the element involved in Holy Spirit baptism was the Holy Spirit, as Acts 1 and verse 5 suggests. I believe there's no question of difference over this particular point. I believe all of us would agree that the element involved in Holy Spirit baptism was the Holy Spirit himself. We notice, for example, in Acts 1 and verse 5, Jesus said, For John truly baptized with water, but ye, by speaking to the apostles, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And so the element involved was the Holy Spirit. But in water baptism, the element involved is water, Acts 8 and Acts 10. And then we notice also that Holy Spirit baptism was promised to some. We notice, for example, in Matthew 3:11, and this is one of the passages Mr. Batts gave, that John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me, who's mightier than I, and so forth, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That shows then that Holy Spirit baptism was promised to some. Now, Mr. Batch is suggesting that it was promised to all, but it wasn't. There were some in that audience to whom John spake that were wicked individuals. They were not penitent. Were they promised Holy Spirit baptism, Mr. Batch? Now, you made the argument that it wasn't promised just to a few, but to all. Were all of those who refused God's counsel, those who refused to obey God, included in the promise? Now, that shows his argument to start with in Matthew 3:11 just simply isn't so. But this does show that it was promised to some. In Luke 24 and in verse 47 through 49, we find the Lord Jesus Christ promising Holy Spirit baptism, obviously, to the apostles. He said, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, if that's a promise of Holy Spirit baptism to Mr. Batch, he better follow those instructions. Those instructions were that those to whom the Holy Spirit would come in the baptismal measure, no doubt, were to tarry in Jerusalem. Is that where you got yours, Mr. Batch? Was it in Jerusalem? Now, that's where these people were told to tarry, to wait for it. They weren't merely told to wait for it, but they were told to wait for it in Jerusalem. That proves, first of all, that Mr. Batch is not in that number. So that rules him out to start with. But now let's go a step further. Acts 1:5, we read just a few minutes ago, says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye, and the context shows it was the apostles to whom Christ was speaking, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so it promised to some. But Acts 2:38 shows that water baptism was a command to all. And then we notice how that Holy Spirit baptism was administered by Christ, because in John the first chapter and in verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So Christ is the administrator of Holy Spirit baptism. And but we notice how from Matthew 19 that water baptism is administered by men. Now the purpose of Holy Spirit baptism was to reveal the truth. It was to bring to the apostles' remembrance all that Christ had said unto them and show them things to come. And as John 16 and verse 13 and John 15, 26 and 14, 26 suggest, and it was to confirm the word that they thus preached. That's why that we find in Mark 16 and verse 20, that they went forth preaching the word, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And then in Acts 10 and 11, have Holy Spirit baptism upon Cornelius' household, and from verses 45 and 6 of chapter 10, and verses 14 through 18 of chapter 11, we learn the purpose of it. That was to convince the Jews that these Gentiles were gospel subjects. And hence we can see from these passages that the Word of God shows the very purpose of Holy Spirit baptism. Now the purpose of water baptism is to, for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, to save us, 1 Peter 3:21, put us into the church, 1 Corinthians 12:13, into Christ, Galatians 3:27. But then we notice further that Holy Spirit baptism did not involve a burial and a resurrection. We notice here as far as Holy Spirit baptism, Acts 2 shows that they were all, that is, the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We do not find a resurrection out of the Holy Spirit involved, like in the case of water. in the case of water, Romans 6 and verse 3 suggests in other passages that we are thus buried in baptism and we're raised walking in newness of life. And so there's a difference then between Holy Spirit baptism and then water baptism. And then we notice further that Holy Spirit baptism is not needed today.
15.
Now notice this. Holy Spirit baptism is not needed today because we have that which God intended to be accomplished by the Holy Spirit baptism. We notice in John 16:13 to guide, to reveal, and so forth the truth. It was to confirm the word, Hebrews 2 and Mark 16:20. And hence we have a confirmed revelation from God. We have God's perfect law of liberty as contained in the testament that was sealed with Christ's precious blood. James 1:25 mentions the perfect law. And thus today, I know of no truth, neither does my opponent, into which men may be guided, that men were not guided into in the first century, and that which we need to guide us has thus been written down. I wonder if Mr. Batch thinks that the Holy Spirit guides him into all truth like it did the apostles. That was one of the purposes of it. And so the very need for it has ceased because we have accomplished by it that which God intended. But in the case of water baptism, it would last so long as the need of salvation would. Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20 shows, even to the end of the world. Mark 16 and verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so this baptism would last as long as there are sinners that needs to be saved. Mr. Back says that Holy Spirit baptism does not save sinners. He's already suggested to us that it doesn't save sinners. But now here is a baptism that is necessary for the salvation of sinners. Therefore, this baptism that is to last to the end of the world cannot be Holy Ghost baptism, but is that which is necessary to the salvation of sinners. Now notice this. In A.D. 64, more or less, as Mr. Batt says so often, Paul said there is one baptism. Now, since Paul says there is one, now there had been more than one. But now Paul says there is one. Now, which one of these baptisms had ceased? Now, Paul says there is one. Now, there had been more than one, but he says now there is one. Now, if it's Holy Ghost baptism that has ceased, then there's water baptism that we must practice. But if water baptism has ceased, then let's receive Holy Spirit baptism and leave off the water. I challenge Mr. Bass to show proof of his Holy Spirit baptism today, as he claims.
Well,
Mr. Batts suggested that in Acts 2 and verse 38, that when Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall see the gift of the Holy Ghost, that the gift of the Holy Ghost here was the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Cornelius in Acts 10. I believe Mr. Batts said that. Now let's notice this. He says, when Peter mentioned in Acts 2:38 that you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that is the same thing that Cornelius received in Acts 10, that is Holy Ghost baptism. But now let's notice how that that's an utter impossibility. Now this gift of the Spirit mentioned in Acts 2:38 was conditioned upon a person repenting and being baptized. Peter said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift. And so the gift of the Spirit mentioned here would be received after water baptism. But this Holy Ghost baptism in Acts 10 was received before water baptism. Therefore, it cannot be the gift of Acts 2:38. Now notice that, friends. Now I want Mr. Baston to notice this. Now, the gift of the Spirit in Acts 2 was conditioned upon a person repenting and being baptized in water. But that which Cornelius received in Acts 10
Holy Spirit baptism was received before he was baptized in water. Therefore, it cannot be the gift of Acts 2 and verse 38. And then we notice further that Mr. Betts had quite a bit to say about what he meant by Holy Spirit baptism. He had a number of terms that he gave to define what he meant by Holy Spirit baptism. He was rather ambiguous, and I mean by that he wasn't very clear in giving his definitions. But I drew this conclusion, and if this is the wrong conclusion, I want him to say so. Now I'll straighten this out in the next speech, Mr. Bass. Now I understood him to say that the gift of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, pouring out the Holy Spirit, that all of these terms refer to Holy Spirit baptism. Is that what you said, Mr. Bass? Now, is that your position? Now, that's what I understood him to say. But I've already shown that such is not necessarily the case. I've shown that the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 cannot be Holy Ghost baptism of Acts 10. Now, let's notice further that he said that John's baptism was then and is now Christian baptism. Did you notice that? Now, he referred to John's baptism in water in connection with Acts 19. He said that it was then and is now Christian baptism. Now, Mr. Batts is theoretically, to say the least, following a baptism that began with John. Now, he didn't tell us that the first two nights. But now he says that this baptism that he has received in water is John's. Well, I wasn't baptized with John's, Mr. Bass. He says that's right, shaking his head. Did you know that he's not even claiming to have received the baptism of Christ? It was John's. But he wants to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost that Christ gives and the water baptism that John gave. And then in Acts 2:16, he said, now Peter said, this is fact. He referred back to Joel 2 and verse 28. And where Joel said, I will pour out upon all flesh my spirit, upon your sons and daughters and so forth. I just wondered if Mr. Batts meant to imply by that the expression all flesh, literally all flesh, without any qualification, Mr. Batts. Now, Mr. Bass doesn't really believe what he seemed to imply on that passage. Now, he really believes that the Holy Spirit would be poured out only upon some flesh. Now, that's what he believes about it. I know that's what he believes, and he won't say otherwise. You'll wait and see if he does. If he does, he'll wish that he hadn't. Now, notice that. Now, he makes like he believes it. Literally all flesh, but he doesn't. Now, he doesn't believe it. But now, he takes this expression, all flesh, to mean every individual to start with, but it really doesn't mean that at all. Well, now, Peter says, this is that. I believe that. I believe what Peter said. But that has nothing whatever to do with 1965, necessarily, as far as receiving Holy Spirit baptism is concerned. Now, he asserted it, but he didn't prove it. He said, now, what about Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit? He asked that question. He says, is the promise and the baptism the same, or is it different? Now, I'm answering his question. I hope he's that good to me now. But I notice, is the promise of it and the Holy Ghost baptism the same? Sometimes, Mr. Bass, the Holy Ghost baptism is referred to as a promise. But that's not the only promise that God gave, is it? Why, surely not. Now, he's trying to imply that every time you find the word promise, that it must mean Holy Ghost baptism. No, that's not so. Now, that's just like sometimes, like in Acts 11, the expression gift of the Holy Ghost refers to Holy Ghost baptism. But in Acts 2:38, it doesn't, Mr. Bass. It says that's simply the gift of the Holy Ghost. But he says a gift is a gift. Well, now, a gift is a gift, but not all gifts are the same gift, are they? You take, for example, here's a shower of rain. That's a gift from heaven. But here, on the other hand, may be a great downpour, a cloud burst of rain. That's a gift also, isn't it? But are they the same, Mr. Batch? Now, see, he's trying to confuse you people. He's trying to make you think that there's only one kind of a gift involved. That's all it is. And if you read the word gift, that means Holy Ghost baptism. But it doesn't. He hasn't found it. And then we notice also that he talked about the early rain and the latter rain. He even got up in Fort Knox. Talked about the gold being heaped up. And did you know that in James, the 5th chapter, where he talked about the last days, heaping up treasure and so forth, that there is no reference made in those verses to Holy Spirit baptism whatsoever? He assumed it, he asserted it, but gave no proof. And then back in Joel 2, he referred to the latter rain and the former rain, but in verse 23 of Joel 2, Joel said, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." You know, James 5 mentions that the same husbandman got both the first, the former, and the latter rain. He says on Pentecost, the Holy Ghost baptism was the former rain, and in 1965, here's the latter rain. But the passage he gave shows that the husbandman received both the former and the latter. So he's missed it again, his own text. He's assuming, he's asserting, he's trying hard. And then in Ephesians 1 and verse 13, sealed with Holy Spirit of promise. Well, that doesn't say anything about Holy Spirit baptism, does it, Mr. Bass? And he doesn't believe it refers to Holy Spirit baptism, do you? Does it? Does it? He said, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, but that doesn't say anything about Holy Spirit baptism. And then in Acts 19, verse 1 through 6, he said, these people received the Holy Ghost. I know they did. But it doesn't mention Holy Ghost baptism, Mr. Bass. That's what he claims. You know, the first two nights he said, now, Mr., when I'd find passages that mention baptism, if it didn't come out and say water in every passage, he says, that's not water baptism. But now he finds passages that doesn't even mention baptism at all. And he calls it Holy Ghost baptism. You better try again, Mr. Bass. And then we notice in Acts 11 that Peter said the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And he said that goes back to Pentecost. That's right. But this was some 8 or 10 years after Pentecost. Now, if it had been poured out all along like he contends in the baptismal form, then why did Peter say as on us at the beginning? Why didn't he say like it's always fallen for these 8 or 10 years? That shows this is a thing that was not the ordinary thing, but something that had fallen on Pentecost, and now it comes 8 or 10 years later. All of this time there were thousands of people receiving the Word of God, obeying the gospel, and thus receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost as promised in Acts 2 and verse 38. You better try again, Mr. Bass. And then we notice further that he talked about somebody giving somebody a cow. He talked about the milk being the promise, the gift of the cow. Well, now that illustrates exactly what I'm saying. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, because here's an expression, I'll give you a gift of a cow. Well, now he might just get the milk and the butter. But somebody else might say, I'll give you a gift of a cow, and I might get the cow. In both cases, we got a gift of the cow. In that case, he got a gift that the cow gave, and in my case, I got a gift composed of the cow. Thank you, Mr. Bass. And then we notice Luke 11:13. That mentions the Holy Spirit is given to those that ask him, but it doesn't mention Holy Spirit baptism, does it? and he doesn't even really believe that it refers to Holy Spirit baptism. No, it doesn't say Holy Spirit baptism. That's what his proposition says. Now you keep in mind, here's what he's supposed to be affirming down here. That believers, and he said, asking for the gift or asking for the Spirit, you receive Holy Spirit baptism. But it must be more involved than just praying, Mr. Batch, must it? Mr. Batch has people to work hard trying to get it sometimes, day after day, month after month, maybe. And they don't get it. So that's more involved than just simply saying, get it to me. Mr. Batch says it's hard work involved. Thank you very kindly.